and welcome to the new podcast. This is a continuation of the previous podcast on how to plan your European vacation. So if you haven't listened to that yet, you may want to go listen to that. And if you have, welcome to this episode. Hooray! So we are talking about how to plan your perfect European vacation. And now that you know where to go, you've got to figure out how to get around in Europe and how to fly. And I'm going to tell you some tips that I've used to this day and some stuff that I found not useful. So I will be getting into a little bit of technical stuff on here. If it doesn't make sense, drop a comment. I'll explain it in text on the comments. But before we get started, our San Pellegrino frothy beverage time. Refreshing. Maybe they want to sponsor me one day. That'd be nice. Be sponsored by bubbly water. So, flying is expensive. Travel is expensive. How do you find the cheapest flights? Now, there are budget airlines, and you may have seen some of these, like Jet2, EasyJet, Ryanair are some of the bigger brand names. There's also TUI that I see. Are these always the cheapest flight? No. And I need to tell you why. So, these flights, although they're budget, they charge you for everything. So while you can get, let's just pick on EasyJet, for example, because that's the most recent one that I flew, and I'm more familiar with their prices. So say a ticket from Spain to London is 100 euros. Cool. Do you want a seat? You want to sit somewhere on the airplane? Okay, that's another 15 euros. Oh, do you have any baggage that you're carrying, including your own carry-on? So you have to pay for your purse, you have to pay for your backpack, you have to pay for your rolly thingy, and every suitcase or thing you bring on the airplane is like 20 euros each. You have to, I think it's like 40 euros if you want to put something in the hold, like checked luggage. So many different add-ons. If you want to buy any food or any water in the airplane, that's not free or complimentary. You know, that's an additional 5 or 10. So at the end of the day, sometimes it's cheaper to go on just a normal big brand, air quotes, airplane. You know, something like Lufthansa or Iberia or British Airways or KLM or one of those things. It's really hard to, you know, figure out what's cheapest. There's no blanket rule. I do fly, air quotes, budget airlines, and they're not budget at all. I do fly those low-cost airlines. I do fly the other airlines quite a lot as well. So how do you find the cheapest flight? What I do, and even like when I'm trying to plan my trip, sometimes I don't know where to go and I just use Google to help me. So Google has a travel, google.com/travel. And in there, what you can do is you can put in your normal city. So say I'm going to fly from London to somewhere. And I can say, fly me from London to Europe, and just type in Europe, and direct. And what it will do is plot out all of the routes from London to Europe on the date that I'm looking. And then I can be like, oh, okay, I want two stops and sort by the longest duration. And then I can see like what my longest duration is. Maybe I can have a cool layover in Iceland or something really awesome like that. So, you know, maybe I'm flying from London to Spain, but instead of going London to Spain, I can go from London to Reykjavik and Reykjavik down into Spain. Okay. You know, awesome. Now, when I'm looking at this stuff in Google, what I'm looking at is the routes that are available, the airlines that are available, and the price. Never purchase a ticket outside of the airline itself. Don't buy on Expedia, don't buy on TripAdvisor, don't buy on Booking.com, don't buy on any of those flight aggregators. Buy on the airline itself. And the reason I say this is that if you need to do any sort of an exchange with the ticket, if your flight gets canceled, if something else weird like that happens, you're going to run into so many issues if you have to go through Expedia and then Expedia has to contact the flight airline or, you know, something crazy like that. Cut out the middleman when you're buying flights and just go directly to the website. The logical question you should be asking me is, then why are you going to a flight aggregator website like Google if you're just going to go to the normal flight and buy it, or the normal airline site and buy it itself? because Google aggregates everything and it tells me where the cheapest flights are and it tells me where the routes are. So it's like going to read the index of everything, and then after that, I go directly to the website of the flight that I'm looking for. Now, when you're searching for anything flight related, you need to be very aware of cookies. And this is where it gets a little technical. So cookies are these things in your computer that track around. It's kind of like COVID. You know, once you have one, it spreads to other things, and then those other things spread it to other things, and other things spread it to other things. So let's say that I'm going to Google and I'm looking for a flight, and I go track it, and Google's like, awesome, here's this flight. And then I click on that flight. That click is stored locally on my computer in a cookie, and that cookie then tracks me elsewhere. Google uses this to help organize how it gives me search results back. And then sometimes other websites use this information as well. And then they can also use that on how to organize the information they give me, or, you know, maybe they want to recommend me a certain thing because they saw me interact with something else. And it's all weird internet, social media, marketing stuff. But that's too complicated for this podcast. What you need to know is that cookies in flight booking matter. So if you're using Google, awesome. Go do that. Have fun. Now, you found that perfect flight that you want to book. Open up a browser in incognito mode, or better, on an entirely different computer that does not have any association to the login that you have now. And what this means is you're going, oh, haha, thumb up, yay! Audio listeners, my computer has just given me a thumbs up for some reason. Thank you. Anyway, so what you need to do is open up an entirely different browsing system. Now, you'll note that some websites that sell airline tickets don't allow you to connect to them whenever you're using a VPN. And this is because they've realized that people are trying to escape their cookies. Now, whenever you're buying a flight, the reason cookies matter is that if an airline sees that you're interested in a flight and you don't buy it that first time, they'll raise the price a second time and the third time because they know that you're thinking about it. And that's why they don't allow VPN stuff. I think that's bullshit because the reason I use a VPN is so other, like, so sites can't track me. Anyway, that's business and Western economy. Woo! So you're going to the website and try not to go on the same computer that you use on whenever you're buying the ticket. You know, do it on a phone. Get off your Wi-Fi network. Try to look like a different person to the flight carrier that you're buying the ticket from. So you go in, and maybe you want a business ticket, but you're like, that's just a little bit too expensive. I'm not going to do that. No, the first search that you should do is for business class ticket. Because sometimes whenever you search that, it is cheaper than an economy class ticket. Now, if you're searching economy class and then you're like, nah, just go show me the business price. Let's just see the difference and see if I can afford it. They're likely going to jack that business ticket way, way, way up. But if you go look at business ticket first, I've found that usually the price they show you for that is way cheaper. Now, don't look at business and then economy and then business on the same device, because then they're just going to keep raising the business price up because they know you're considering buying a business ticket. But what you can do is just buy the business ticket if it looks like a good price for you and if it fits within your budget. Okay, so that's buying a ticket. Now you know that you need to use multiple devices if you're looking for the best price. The next thing is, which airline do you pick and how do you know what flies into which airport? I am going to pick on the beautiful city of Prague for this. Now, Prague, while it is one of the most visited tourist destinations in Europe, it is a pain in the butt to get to. So nothing flies direct into Prague, it seems. Like, you have to go through Munich or through Vienna or through Zurich or through something else. It's just like, boing, boing, boing. I don't know why it's so visited if it's so hard to get to. Beautiful place, though. You should go to Prague. Getting to Prague can be a challenge. So how did I get to Prague myself? Well, anytime you're looking to get into an airport or out of an airport, and you're not sure what airplanes fly there, as I mentioned, you can go to Google. Google will show you the major air carriers. What it doesn't show you, though, is these tiny little air carriers. Now, there are regional airplanes that fly that Google just doesn't index for some reason. I don't know why. So in the UK, there's this airline called Logan Air, and Logan Air flies to smaller city airports. So it flies like directly into the Peak District, it flies into the Lake District, it flies up into the Shetland Islands. The only way I can figure out what tiny little airplanes fly into these airports is by going on to the arrivals and departures of that airport. And there's a couple of ways to do this. So one, just in, you know, your search engine of choice, type in Prague arrivals or Prague departures, and you'll get a bunch of websites. I don't want to say any of them because I'm not promoting any of them. They all have ads. They're weird ads on some of them. But what it is, it's, you know, just different flight trackers. And I'm sure you have used these before whenever you're waiting for a friend to come in or you're waiting for your family to come in. And you're like, where's their flight? Refresh, refresh, refresh. And you can see the little airplane in the little window. So these websites can also be really useful. Now, how I use them, I look at all of the arrivals for a city. So for Prague, I was looking at all of the arrivals and all of the airlines that were arriving. And I could see, you know, flights were coming in from a bunch of different cities. Airlines I'd never heard of before were coming in there. So what I did then, after that, I went to one of these random airline websites that I had never heard of before, looking at the destinations they travel to, because I'm like, oh, maybe it's, you know, more affordable. Maybe I can do this. Same with departures. Maybe you want to go somewhere after Prague and you have no idea where, but you want it to be a direct flight. Take a look at the departure list from the Prague airport on different days of the week, because flights operate different days of the week, and see where you can go outside of Prague on a direct flight. After you find that airline, and after you find the city, you know, on your other device, go to the website of the airline of choice and make the booking there. Now, why are you making the bookings on these websites? Well, I mentioned that it's way easier if your flight's delayed or canceled or any of those things. The other reason, though, is that sometimes I find that flight aggregator sites, Booking.com, Expedia, etc., they sometimes charge you a little bit more than the original website would charge you for, you know, reserving a seat or doing that sort of stuff. On top of that, sometimes you can't even reserve a seat on the flight aggregator websites, which is a pain in the butt if you just want to look out the window. Other times, they will just send you to the flight airline anyway. And, like, I know, for example, does this with British Airways. So if you book a British Airways flight on Expedia, Expedia will just send you to the British Airways website to book your seat there. And why do two websites need your flight information data? You may as well just give it to British Airways if you're going to fly with British Airways anyway. Let's see. Let me take a look at my list and see what else I put in here, because I have some other tips for you. So flight tracker sites, see what's around. The other thing that I would also say with the flight tracker websites, whenever you're looking around, also check to see if there's multiple airports in a city. So some cities have multiple airports. London, for example, we have, I think, 5 airports here. The main airport, there's Heathrow, there's Gatwick, there's Luton, there's Stansted, and then there's London City. London City Airport is right in the middle of London. So you can basically get off an airplane and within 20 minutes look at Big Ben. A lot of big cities have these tiny little city airports. It's usually the smaller airplanes that fly into them, but it's sometimes worth it so you don't have to deal with that long journey from the airport outside of the city into the city. Look to see if your city has an airport like this, and you can just find that from a Google search. So go into Google Maps and then pick a city that you want to go to. So Google Maps, go to London. Zoom out a little bit so you can get a bunch of London in the photo and just type in airport. And then you'll get like 5 different airport hits around there. Probably more because there's a couple of private airport around here that private airplanes fly into. So whenever you're picking a airport, be open to where you're flying in and where you're flying out of. It can be sometimes cheaper. It can give you a little bit more of an adventure. And sometimes it's way, way, way more efficient to flying in and out of a city. Specifically in London, if I'm flying local in Europe, I love flying into London City because then I don't have to deal with all of the international airport stuff. It's not an hour away from the city. It's like literally right in the middle. I can get off the airplane and have a salad in like the next 10 minutes. So very cool. The other thing that you need to look at when you're booking flights, does a bus or a train go there? Europe, because it's so small and because it's very interconnected and dependent on a lot of people not driving and very eco-aware, we have a lot of buses and trains. And sometimes a bus or a train can be way cheaper and way faster than flying. So take a look at that. And, you know, buses and trains sounds weird, especially coming from North America where we don't have that really bus and train culture. Nothing beats, though, getting on a train, buying some snacks before, buying some food before, bringing a bottle of Prosecco, and just like drinking a bottle of Prosecco with your friends on the train. It's pretty awesome. There's also no liquid limitations on a bus or a train. So you can bring all of the liquids. You can bring whatever you want. Very, very highly recommend both of them. I find it a little bit less stress than an airplane because you don't have to go through security. You don't have, I mean, you always have children in the back that are crying, but you can walk around on a train. You're not supposed to walk around on a bus, but if you're taking a long distance on a bus, every 2 hours, the bus stops and you get out for like 10 or 15 minutes. So the smokers can smoke, the walkers can go walk, you can go use the washroom, you can get some snacks in the bus station. Different types of transportation have their perks, and I love the trains and buses here. Oh, what bus sites to look at? So we have a couple of major buses in Europe. Like North America, we have Flixbus. So, love that bus. On a bus, we also have like BlaBlaCar, there's Greyhound, there's a bunch of stuff here. When you're on a bus, I like Flixbus for this reason. You can buy the seat next to you. So, say your bus ticket is 10 euros. You can pay 5 euros for that seat next to you, and you don't have to sit next to someone if you don't want to sit next to someone. I think that this is a fantastic offering that they give. If you're taking a long bus ride, it's really nice too, because if you're not super tall, you can just lay down in both of the bus seats and have a really, really good nap. So look into buying the seat next to you. Sometimes it's totally worth it. Other times, if you just want to meet someone new and, you know, chat to someone new, don't buy the seat next to you because then it'll be filled with someone else. What else am I going to tell you about picking a trip or figuring out where to go? I think that the other thing that whenever you're picking a trip is make sure that you bring enough water for the airplane. So some airplanes give you water, some airplanes don't give you water. You want to make sure that you are hydrated because you're going to be walking a lot, you're going to be sweating a lot, and you need to make sure that you have enough water to fuel you throughout the entire airplane ride. So I'm going to stop rambling here and leave you to go booking your flight. I would love to understand what other kind of flight booking stuff that you guys use, because maybe I'm not doing it the best way. I don't travel classy. Like, I know there's a bunch of YouTube vloggers that travel in like first class and business class. I travel in the workers class. I have a job, I have a life to take care of. I would love to travel in bougie class all the time, but you know, it doesn't always happen. So if you have any links or any tips on how to travel in bougie class all the time, let me know. But this podcast is mostly for how does the normal person travel in Europe for an affordable price. And to summarize, the tips are use multiple devices so cookies can't
track you around the internet and jack up the prices. If you're searching for, if you think you want to fly a business flight, search for business first and book it if you see a good price on it. If you want to compare the price between business and economy, you're using two different devices and they are not on the same Wi-Fi network. The other things are, never book with the aggregator sites. They may look very appealing and very easy to book on there, but it is going to be a nightmare if your flight gets canceled. And it's just save future you a bunch of stress, please. And finally, use the airport departure websites to figure out what flies in there, what flies out of there. And this is going to introduce you into a lot of local airlines that you just have a bunch of local flyers on. Usually, they're way cheaper too, because they don't spend their money on advertising. They just spend their money on flying airplanes and taking you around Europe. So, yeah, drop a comment. Let me know what you thought. And give me comments also on what you want to hear about Euro travel in the future. I will be doing also tips for going to North America, because you probably can guess I'm from there and probably very well traveled in North America as well. So yeah, I will see you next time. Bye. Balloons. Ciao. Okay, audio viewers, I'm trying to make the balloons come on and the balloons are not coming on. I have no idea why. If anyone knows why I randomly get balloons and emojis on my screen, you can also tell me that too, because I'd love to know why. Ciao.